They work.
Arr, matey.
Well, you're at work. Scott Zolak.
I think it's a disaster.
Mark Bertrand.
I know. I want to get it out.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
It is a handoff to Edgerrin James. Turning left, he is met by Ted Johnson for a loss. Back at about the 15-16-yard line. Ted Johnson, great penetration through the Colts' blocking wall to meet up with and stagger Edgerrin James to drop him for a loss back to the 16. It's a loss of a couple of yards.
All right, back here, 98.5, the Sports Hub. Tim McCone, Ted Johnson, filling in for Zolak and Bertrand today. Got less than an hour left. That's when Marshall Hook, who's Hook with today? Anyone know?
Ty Anderson.
And Ty Anderson take over here for Felger and Mass.
They're going to take it right up to Bruins pregame at 6:30, so a bonus half hour.
Wow. Love it. Good stuff. Yeah, been talking Patriots pretty much all afternoon here with three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson. Loaded phone lines. A lot of people want to talk football with you, Ted. Also, have a call on here that we'll get to eventually. Want to get your thoughts on the new Colorado head coach. So we'll get your thoughts on that at some
you're
point as well.
Yep.
My team has been struggling for a long time.
Yeah.
And I thought Coach Mack maybe we had a good year a couple of years ago. We lost our D coordinator to the Oregon Ducks. And we start off the season 5-0. And then I think we proceeded to lose every game after that. So my program is a long way from where it was back in the late 80s, early 90s, yeah.
But you spent a lot of time in Houston, did radio down there for the last 6 years, and Celtics in action tonight, taking on the Houston Rockets. What do you think of the Celtics so far this year?
I'm excited to see this game. Look, I know it's it's the teams in two different conferences, but look, both of them, I think, are maybe playing their best basketball right now with the Celtics getting healthy again. Marcus Morris coming back and Al Horford coming back and the Rockets playing in 7 out of their last 8. They're on fire. So I'm excited to see these two teams go at it tonight. I'll be honest, the Celtics, I've been impressed with the Celtics, the way they started, the kind of trying to reintegrate Kyrie Irving, Gordon Hayward back into this offense. It was going to be a slow process, and there was going to be, not only was there going to be issues on the court,
yep,
as far as just trying to be, learn to play with each other. But there's also going to be issues chemistry-wise off the court. Because 100%. All of a sudden, Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum and Terry Rozier have these, huge kind of responsibilities like they did. They were really dependent on it at the end of last year.
Those three guys pretty much take you to a game within the finals, right?
Right.
And they're your go-to guys. And now you take a step back this year. It's Kyrie Irving's team. You're working Gordon Hayward back. He's clearly not 100% physically and probably psychologically after breaking his leg the way he did last year. And you're right. And now you've got young guys, because you forget that Jason Tatum, second year, Jaylen Brown, third year in the NBA. Their roles are changed. And, we talk about it a lot. Danny Ainge talking about positionless basketball and want to have all these wings. But they don't necessarily have defined roles yet either. So I'm with you. It's going to take some time for them to get on the same page.
There's a lot of things going on.
Yeah.
You got Kyrie Irving, who's coming off an injury. He's trying to reestablish himself as a leader. Gordon Hayward he was a huge free agent pickup last offseason. He comes in here, has what happened to him happen to him, and now he's got a little crisis of confidence when he comes back because he knows the guys that subbed in for him and did a hell of a job last year. So he can feel probably that minutes are being dumped on him that maybe he doesn't deserve, but they're doing it because Brad Stevens wants to get him some reps and get him up to speed. So there's just a lot of things going on with this team, and you hope that they can gel. I love that game against the 76ers. What I love, is I'm seeing Kyrie Irving take over games now.
Yeah.
Okay, so I would be down in Houston, and I'd see time after time after time James Harden take games over. Okay, now part of that might have been because, he didn't have any other options. For the longest time, he didn't have Chris Paul there, right? I mean, he came last year. It was the biggest difference. But so he had to be the guy. Well, Kyrie Irving, until Tatum and Brown and Gordon Hayward figure it out,
right,
you need to be the guy. And Kyrie is starting to do that. I want him to be selfish.
Yeah.
I want him to kind of take the ball at the end of games and take over like he has. And I just think that's what guys are looking to him to do. It's all those guys with the Rockets, they're all looking for James Harden to take the game over at the end. And so I like seeing that. The Celtics are a fun team to watch, man, and they're going to be fine.
They will be. And I think a big reason why is you look at this team, and obviously there's talent there, and they still have to figure it out. And to your point, too, you know, you go back to 2008 and when the first big three with Kevin Garnett, Ray Allen, Paul Pierce, they start out 27-3. And you look at that and you say, well, they're bringing all these new pieces. Well, all those guys kind of had defined roles and accepted those roles going into that season. Last year, Gordon Hayward goes down in the first game, and you lose the first two. Then you rattle off 16 straight wins. But again, with Hayward out, the roles were kind of defined in that team where it was Kyrie Irving's team. Everyone's kind of taking a back seat. This year, yeah, it's going to take a little more time because you have so much talent. I mean, you go down this roster outside of Golden State from a talent perspective, the depth on this roster, probably the best in the NBA. But to your point, I think ultimately they're going to be okay just because you've got a guy in Kyrie Irving, like a James Harden, that can go out and get you a basket when you need it at the end of the game. And that's the difference, I think, between this team and even the one that, you know, Isaiah Thomas led a couple of years ago as well. So,
and they need some grit and grime. They need tough guys. Marcus Morris is back in the lineup, which is huge. And I think for some odd reason, this team's a little bit like Seabiscuit. Like, you need to – like, Seabiscuit, you know, he always had – you had to pull him back. Right? You always had to have competition. It's like, okay,
yeah.
Celtics, you got off to a terrible start. Are you going to wake up now? Are you guys ready to go? Here we go. And so they started to wake up now. And I think they like being the kind of the underdogs and having that chip on the shoulder. It serves them well.
617-779-0985. You're in on Felger and Mass tomorrow. That's an agenda-free Friday. Yep. I want to do a bit of a preview here with you. I want to get to this call from Alan because I think this is an interesting story. Alan, what's up? Hello, Alan.
Alan, you there?
I'm here.
Hey, buddy.
Yeah, you know, in any other city in the country other than our city, which to me is the best city in the country, anyway, this would be a big thing. And, you know, in Boston, it's whether Brady, what he had for breakfast. This is a disgrace what happened yesterday, a total disgrace. And, you know, I checked today just for the heck of it. It's gorgeous today in Dallas. Any reason? I know there's a Cotton Bowl. The big game is coming up on Saturday. They could have played this game. This is absurd to have people go out there and everything and just call the game off.
All right, thanks for the call, Alan. He's talking about BC getting canceled yesterday. I know.
Can we get some context?
Yeah, I know. Very upset about just yesterday in general. No, BC getting their bowl game canceled yesterday. Your thoughts on that, Ted?
I think that's kind of – I mean, you see more and more weather delays than you've ever seen. Player safety, right, is and I don't think that's such a bad thing. Maybe have they overreacted a little bit? I mean there was – I played in a game in Iowa – in Ames, Iowa – that maybe we had no business playing. I mean, it was there was literally 300 people in the stands because it was a whiteout and it was a blizzard, and we still played the game.
Yeah.
We still played the game. But God forbid somebody kid gets hit with lightning and dies, and then,
you
feel bad you didn't cancel the game. Yeah, so the get why people are upset, but
it is
player safety and keeping these guys out of harm's way is the most important thing.
All right, 617-779-0985 with Ted Johnson. Let's get back to some of your Patriots calls, and let's talk to Jason in Nashua. Jason, what's up?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Sarge, it's Frogman.
Hey,
you
what's
don't
up?
Suck. Don't listen to nobody.
Oh, I appreciate that, Frogman. Thanks, buddy.
No problem. Ted, I just want to thank you for those awesome defenses back then. Watching you guys was amazing. Thank you for the Super Bowls. I just wanted to get that out of the way.
You bet. Thank you.
No problem. And so where I'm at with the Patriots is that another AFC team has to prove it to me that they can beat the Patriots in the playoffs. That's where I'm at. Even with like the stuff that's going on with Brady or the defense, that's just where I'm at. Other teams have to prove that they can beat them in the playoffs where the games matter. And so I wanted to ask you a question, though. I heard Tommy Curran on a commercial that was on saying that Brady still wants to play longer and everything, but he might not be able to finish in New England. I can't picture him playing anywhere else, but if there was another team, where could we picture him playing and getting the most draft picks or whatever the case would be? I can't picture it, but
I have a hard time seeing Tom Brady on another team, guys. I'd feel like – I think we were talking about this before the show. It's like, you know, who do you think if Robert Kraft had to pick one or the other, who do you think would go first? I think Belichick would. I don't think Tom's going anywhere. I think Tom's here for the long haul. So I can't imagine a scenario in which Tom would go somewhere else. And we have to, you have to understand this about Tom. Maybe, you know, after 18 years with Bill, I'm sure, you know, he's probably, you know, it's not easy to work with each other. And there's a lot of history there, recent history with Alex Guerrero and things, that there maybe is a fracture there in that relationship. But Tom knows he needs Bill just as much as Bill needs him. If Tom Brady wants to add on to his legacy, and he knows that Tom Brady is who he is because of Bill Belichick and that partnership. So I can't imagine Tom wanting to go at this stage of his career, starting somewhere on a new team with new players, a new system, a new everything, and it working out well. I don't think Tom cares about his legacy. And what players really care about is how your career ends. If you can control the narrative, if you can dictate terms as far as how your career ends, that's what you want to do. And my feeling is Tom has no desire to play anywhere else. And I think as long as Robert Kraft's owning this team, which he's going to be for a long time, him and his son, then Tom's not going anywhere.
I'm with you. I think Kraft would probably step in at that point. And maybe Belichick thinks that he could get a package that would set him up for the future. But I don't think Robert Kraft would let it happen either. 617-779-0985. Going to step away. We'll continue with your calls coming up here on Zolak and Bertrand. It's Tim McCone, Ted Johnson in for the guys.
Hot takes.
I am Superman.
Oh, yeah.
Wrong song.
Oh. Zoe and Beetle, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, back here, 98.5, the Sports Hub. Tim McCone, Ted Johnson, making his 98.5, the Sports Hub debut today. Coming up in a little over 10 minutes, by the way, we're going to give away another pair of Patriots tickets for the season finale, or regular season finale, I should say, against the Jets coming up. Ted, when you look at this game against the Jets quickly, do you think there's going to be any issues here for the Patriots in terms of closing things out and getting that bye?
There shouldn't be. There's too much on the line, and I think at home they're just a different team.
Yeah.
Even though Sam Darnold's playing really well as of late, and he has, guys. I mean, I think I don't know if it was this show or another show earlier last week was talking about, okay, if you had to pick one team in this division that was going to be at the top in 2021, which team would you pick? And a lot of guys picked the Jets. And you know what? Sam Darnold's the real deal, you guys. I mean, he got off to a slow start, but a lot of the great ones do. And he's playing really well as of late. That game a couple weeks ago against the Texans, he went toe-to-toe with. The Jets should have won that game. But Deshaun Watson is Deshaun Watson and brought that team back. But I think they got a really good one in Sam Darnold. And that defense, you know, historically, it's not afraid to play Tom Brady. So I think it's going to be a good game. I don't think it's going to be a blowout. I think it's going to be a struggle for the Patriots. I think they win. But I think the Jets are on the rise, guys.
How much of an impact can it have on a team when you have a young quarterback where all of a sudden everyone's believing in him and probably he's believing in himself too? I know 2001, Brady steps in. You know, when you guys realized you had something, is that when it started to really kind of click in for you guys?
Yeah, it does. And you know what? If you, like I said earlier, if there's guys that play on teams.
Yeah.
That have a quarterback that they know they don't have a chance in hell to win that game.
Yeah.
And how do you get yourself motivated? How do you do the little fine little details that goes into game planning and preparing for a game, knowing that before the game even starts, you don't have a chance? That wasn't the case for me with Bledsoe and with Tom. And that hasn't been the case around here because of Tom for the last 18 years. But when you see a kid, like a young guy, like a Sam Darnold, who has potential, just show us flashes.
Yep.
Like, that's what players want. Chum, when you got in there for Drew in 2001, just show us flashes. Show us something here and there that we can get excited about and want to rally behind you, because we all want to rally behind that quarterback because we know how enormous that job is and how dependent we are. So for our success is wrapped up in. So you want to rally behind that guy and you want to like him and you want to be supportive of him. And I think Sam Darnold has won his team over, man. And you know how you do that? You outwork. You outwork everybody and you show the quarterback It just comes with it. If you're not the first one in and you're not the last one out,
yeah,
then you're not going to make it in this league, because a lot of the guys, defenses will play. You don't think the Texans defense has woken up since Deshaun Watson started becoming its quarterback?
Yeah.
You know, if they had to go out there, J.J. Watt had to go out there with Brock Osweiler as the quarterback. It's a totally different mindset than if you go out there knowing that, hey, you know what, we can let it loose. If they get us on one, that's all right. We got a guy that can back us up in our quarterback. So having a really good quarterback and even a young quarterback that's unproven who shows flashes gets you excited about the future.
Here's a question I've always had for players. If you got a guy, if you're on the Texans, you guys sign Brock Osweiler, $72 million contract. He's going to be your guy. I know there's going to be some growing pains coming to a new organization, but how quickly can you see sometimes there's no shot this is going to work? How often do you see a player maybe get drafted high that comes in and you go, oh, this is not the guy that they thought they were getting?
Dude, you know what's funny, Tim? And I almost think, like, it was weird. It was a weird thing. When they signed Brock Osweiler, the Texans, it was at a period where free agency hadn't fully begun. So Bill O'Brien could not have a face-to-face meeting with Brock Osweiler.
Right, so he's taking him on essentially blind. Yeah.
Totally blind.
Guy, yeah.
Rick Smith, the general manager, I mean, that was his call, I'm told. And you're asking me how long would you have known that maybe he wasn't the right. If Bill O'Brien had lunch with Brock Osweiler, he would have known that he wasn't the right guy for the job. Just talk to the guy.
Yeah.
I mean, look, the most brilliant drops that we'd ever had on our show is Brock Osweiler. Can I just hear Brock Osweiler do a press conference, please? Because I can't get enough. It's like a Jim Gray interview.
Yeah.
It is an appointment radio. I can't wait to hear Jim Gray interview Tom Brady. It is like every Monday and Thursday. I just set my clock to it.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing with Brock Osweiler. When's he going to be talking to the press? Because he's a train wreck, man. And yeah. If you just would have talked to him, I think you would know there's just something off with that guy.
Yeah.
I'm not sure how important football is to him. So I would have learned pretty quick. Over a 5-minute lunch, I think I would have known he wasn't the guy.
That wasn't the guy.
Yeah. It's the butterfly effect. You know, who knows what takes place if that occurs, but.
That's awesome. Yeah. Do you cringe every time you hear Jim Gray too?
Oh, it's
scratchy.
It's isn't it? But oh. You have to admit, can we just the Jim Gray interviews?
Yeah.
It's a fascinating like kind of study in the like here's a guy having this like what feels like just two guys, you know, just between them two in the fence post, right, having this conversation, and it's the same thing. Like so. People in Miami, in San Francisco, in Denver got to hear Jim Gray and Tom Brady talk
right.
on Westwood One every single. And I'm just thinking, aren't they tired of it?
Right.
Probably, but we're not, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And I was wondering, like, if Tom and Jim Gray, it's like, that's how they talk, like, when they're not being interviewed. Like, off camera, it's like, well, Tom.
Yeah, exactly.
When are you going to get that Tommy bacon cheeseburger?
Right, exactly.
Tommy, Tom.
Oh, gosh. That's exactly what it is.
You can't
off
play
the air
enough
as well.
Jim Gray drops, Tom. Just keep dropping it, man.
617-779-0985. Let's get back to some of your calls. Let's go talk to Fran up in Maine. Fran, what's up?
Hey, Tim. Hey, Ted. How you doing?
Good, man. How you doing?
You know, I was going to miss big number 52 laying the boomstick up the middle. But, one thing I want to say is, obviously, we all know what happened with Josh Gordon, and guys are saying, like, Patterson, Hogan, and Dorsett need to step up. But you think there's any chance Bill goes out and gets an old retired veteran like Calvin Johnson or Steve Smith?
To come in and play?
Yeah. I think that ship has sailed at this point. You know, it's crazy. Yeah. You go back and look at it, and we did it.
Cowboys are trying to get Witten to come out of the broadcast
of the booth.
Yeah,
I'm not sure how that would play.
That's aggressive.
The other thing is, too, is I was filling in on Felger and Maz at the beginning of the season because you're looking at the wide receiver depth on the Patriots going into the year, right? And it was pretty apparent after they had cut Jordan Matthews, Eric Decker wasn't working out in camp. And you're sitting there going, well, they need something else here. And you go back through the history of trying to acquire receivers, and it really, even if it's a big name, and Amari Cooper certainly worked out in Dallas, but, you know, Percy Harvin, Roy Williams, all these big in-season trades that have none of them really pan out and work the way that you expect them to. And I don't know if it's just because you're asking somebody to come in and pick up an offense mid-season, and that's not really realistic. But I thought Josh Gordon coming in, I mean, exceeded expectations, what you could have hoped for. At this point, I don't think you can ask a veteran to come in week 17 and give you anything.
You're not going to get much for anybody at this point. That ship has sailed. To me, that's just, you know what you do? You turn this into a running team. 21 personnel, bring in James Devlin, bring in Sony Michel. Let's get this thing going, because when this team has needed a spark, when this team has needed, you know, something to get going on offense, they bring in those two guys. Yeah. And so, look, in the receive, you got to love the ones you're with at this point. All right? Philip Dorsett, anyone? Let's maybe get this guy going. I mean, Chris Hogan, you know, it's like, I don't know if it's because Tom's not seeing him or if he's not getting open, but I think Chris Hogan is still a good player. And I think he can still be an effective player. I think Philip Dorsett was showing good signs in the preseason that maybe this guy had turned the corner. This guy could be a reliable weapon. Josh Gordon comes in. He takes a back seat. It sounds crazy. I think they have enough. I just think they got to play better. I think they got to play better. And I think they have enough on offense, but they're going to have to lean on their running game, not their passing game anymore.
Look, obviously the fact that they're in this position is self-inflicted because they didn't go out necessarily and bring in someone in the offseason to make an impact. Mm-hmm. But do you think that if there's a coaching staff that's willing to or capable of adjusting and figuring out what's going to be successful, I mean, you have to say that the Patriots, that's the coaching staff you'd want.
That's it. That's it. And here's the thing. Even though, the receiving core as a whole, all right, Julian Edelman, for the record, is a stud. All right, I'm the biggest Julian Edelman fan. I am, and Gronk's a receiver too. I love Gronk. Just I haven't been able to really talk about those two guys much today. I just wanted to say that. But here's the thing. It's not going to be – we're focusing on the receivers. I get it. But you need to focus on what the running backs are. And the running backs are receivers. James White is a receiver.
Yep.
So is Rex Burkhead.
Yep.
So is Cordell Patterson. All right? Cordell Patterson, he can do more than just jet sweeps. This guy can run regular traditional routes. And Tom has thrown slants to him. He's thrown a hitch to him. He's thrown a 10-yard out to him. Not a lot, but he has done that. So I think, I think you can utilize him a little bit more. And you have to be creative. But I think a lot of it is the passing game is going to be effective off of the play action, all the different motions and play action things that they have, and dump little pass, dink and dunk passes, and let the guys catch and run and kind of do that. It's not going to be a 5-7-step drop back, throw it deep offense. It hasn't been for a long time, and it's not going to be.
All right, he is 3-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson. I'm Tim McCone filling in for Zolak and Bertrand. Couple segments left. Going to get hub headlines here from Mike Sardrelli, but first, caller number 10 to the Pride Motor Group contest line, 617-931-0985. We'll score a pair of tickets to see the Pats play the Jets in their regular season finale this Sunday afternoon at Gillette Stadium. Again, caller number 10, 617-931-0985. Right now, though, Hub Headlines with Sarge.
Go for it, Tom. You're on top.
Zolak and Bertrand continues on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
All right, back here, 98.5, the Sports Hub. Tim McCone, Ted Johnson filling in for Zoe and Beetle today.
I must say, I'm having a good time with you guys. Sarge, you're
fun.
All right, man.
I appreciate that, Ted.
And Tim, I've enjoyed working with you guys today. So we've ham and egged it pretty good, I think.
I'd say so, too.
All right, we were talking a lot about Jim Gray in the last segment. There was an interesting comment that Tom Brady made in his interview this week with Jim Gray that we did want to quickly touch on. So,
Tommy, Tom.
Yeah, Tom, can we play that?
So how do you prepare for a hit that you can't see? How do you anticipate, and how do you prepare your body for one of these guys blindsiding you, or for something that there's no way that you can have that eye on that guy at that moment?
Well, first of all, I've been doing it a long time. So, your body gets used to the hits. You know, the brain understands the position that you're putting your body into. And my brain is wired for contact. I would say in some ways it's become callous to some of the hits. And, based on all the pliability treatments I do, my muscles just absorb the forces and disperse the forces as well as they ever have. So I take hits better now at 41 than I did when I was 25. And, you know, I've really trained that way. I've made it a real priority in my life. I think about it on a daily basis. It's so important for me because I realize when I look around at the locker room, I look around other guys in the league, and I realize they're playing at such a disadvantage because of what I'm able to do and how I'm able to treat my body. And it actually gives me a lot of confidence that, you know, I look at certain hits in the game that I see on film, and people go, God, did that hurt a lot? And I'll say, no, I didn't even really feel it.
All right, so you hear that, Ted. What are you thinking?
Do I have to preface every negative comment about Tom Brady to say he's the greatest quarterback to ever walk this earth?
Actually, up here, yes.
Okay, Tom Brady's the greatest quarterback to ever walk the earth. Having said that, those comments, I felt, when I heard them, were very irresponsible of Tom. When you, just that piece about my brain is wired for contact, it made me cringe a little bit because I, you know, and it hasn't impacted Tom, and hopefully it never does, but there's a lot of families that have been negatively impacted because of their loved ones, the former football players that taken hits to the head that have had issues later in life, you know? You think, like, what does Junior Seau's family think when they hear Tom Brady say, my brain's wired for contact? Mike Webster's family, you know, Kevin Turner's family, you know, Justin Strelzniak's family, Andre Waters' family, Steve Gleason's family. When they hear Tom say, my brain's wired for contact, it comes across as minimizing the real problems that some of these guys are having. Now, not every position is created equal.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Okay. And I liken it to baseball. All right. If you have two guys who played Major League Baseball, played for 10 years, one played second base, one played catcher. All right. They both were baseball players, but one's going to come out of the game with physical ailments that the other one's not.
Right.
Obviously, the catcher is. Okay. Well, the quarterback in these days now are more protected than they ever have. They don't ever get hit in practice. It doesn't take, they don't take as many hits as other positions. My position, offensive lineman's position, strong safety's position is to initiate contact on every single play. And so it's just like hits are like miles on a car, an odometer. The quarterback, Tom's not getting hit nearly as much as, say, a middle linebacker is, as much as an offensive lineman is, as much as a strong safety is. So for him to say that, and it kind of like basically I feel like he's clumping in all football players when he says that. It's how it can come across if he's not careful.
Right.
And it feels like a little bit irresponsible of him to say, considering what is going on out there, and a lot of guys are having problems because of the hits to the head. And, you know, to say that your brain's wired for contact, I think, is a little silly because it's not.
Yeah.
Your brain is not meant to, you know, ram into things like it is in football.
617-779-0985. Tim McCone with Ted Johnson up until 2 o'clock, filling in for Zolak and Bertrand. Ted, you know, just with Tom Brady in general, we had Mike Giardi on Tucker and Rich earlier last week, I should say. He said he thinks he might be dealing with something, whether it's an MCL or something like that. When you watch Brady play right now, do you think that he's hurt? Do you think there's something there? What do you see?
I don't see a guy that's playing injured or. I mean, gosh, that was really, was that unusual to hear a guy specifically point out the ligament that he thinks is maybe going to, I feel like Mike Girardi said something to the effect that I wouldn't be surprised if we find out it's an MCL. Wow. That's kind of, you just don't hear reporters putting that kind of detail out there. And so you wonder if that was meant to get out there. I don't see it, guys. I don't see a guy who's injured. Yeah. I mean, a lot of people might maybe want to justify the play.
Yeah,
because of an injury.
Especially the fourth down play against the Steelers where you see him kind of, you know, fading away from that throw at the end.
Have you ever watched Eli Manning play in the last 3 or 4 years?
Unfortunately.
Does he have knee issues? I haven't heard anything where he's got bad knees. He spins out of every throw.
Yeah.
I mean, that guy, I mean, you breathe on him, he goes down. I said earlier in the show that I think this at times this can maybe happen to a quarterback. It becomes an involuntary response. It really does. I saw it happen in Drew. I saw it happen with Peyton Manning. Peyton Manning, you could blitz him because he would get rattled. At the beginning of his career, he would kill you.
Right.
He'd absolutely kill you if you blitzed him. Later in his career, you'd send pressure, and he was a cat on a hot tin roof. He got nervous back there, and his fundamentals left him a little bit. You see just a little bit of that in Tom. It's not a lot. This guy, Tom is, look, I think you can ride and die with Tom for at least a couple more years, in my opinion. But what I see in him is like a little hiccup, a little bit of the yips, a little bit of an involuntary kind of thing to pressure or perceived pressure. I'm not so sure it has anything to do with the knee. I think it's more of that.
I wonder, too, when you look at it, I go back to 2013, and a lot of people say that, oh, as soon as they drafted Jimmy Garoppolo, you know, Tom Brady came back and was reinvigorated and looked like a different player than he was in 2013. But to me, I go back to that 2013 roster, and, you know, he loses Gronk. Obviously, the Hernandez stuff goes down that summer, and he just didn't have a ton of weapons. And I look offensively. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, Gronk clearly isn't himself this year. The wide receiver core isn't what it's been. Edelman just came back as well. I wonder if there's just not enough guys that he trusts, and some of that comes into this as well, and that's what you're seeing there.
I think you're hitting right on it, Sam. I think it's a great point by you, and I'm glad you brought it up because I think it's more of that. I mean, if Tom's holding the ball a little bit longer, it's probably because he's working with somebody new. You know, look, he wasn't there for OTAs. You had Julian Edelman, who was gone for the first 4 weeks of the season.
Yeah.
All right, and they weren't working in OTAs. Their third down offense, third and six, Patriots' third down efficiency is not very good. That third and 3 to 6 or 7 yards, that's the sweet spot for Julian Edelman.
Yeah.
Those little option routes he used to run all the time, you don't see him running those as much anymore.
No.
And it's because maybe that Tom and him haven't been able to work together as much, but you have so much an influx of new guys on this team, receivers in particular, that there's not the timing's off, the continuity's off, it's not coming out on time.
Yeah.
And so he's having to hold the ball a little bit longer, and while he has to do that for guys to get open, for the play to develop, that's when he gets nervous. That's when that clock in his head is saying, holy crap, get rid of the ball. Here comes pressure, even maybe at times when it's not really there.
You know, you mentioned OTAs, and I wanted to quickly get your thoughts on this as well. Obviously, you played for Bill Belichick. In your mind, everything that went down in OTAs, you know, Gronk, Brady, were you surprised by that? And what do you kind of make of that?
Yeah, I was shocked. I was shocked to hear that Tom and Gronk decided to opt out of the OTAs. To some degree, because the opting out of OTAs is the equivalent, basically, of going up to Belichick and just hawking a loogie right in his face, kicking him right in the schnuts. Just that's the equivalent, because that he takes that very seriously, and he's had perfect attendance forever. Okay, but I can speak from personal experience. When you don't participate in OTAs, that is a huge insult to him. He takes that very, very personally. And so by those two not showing up, that gets under Belichick's crawl more than anything, more than maybe he's going to let on, and maybe more than he's willing to admit. And when I saw that those guys weren't going to participate, I kind of understood it. Maybe they just needed a break from all of it. But I also know what that said to Bill, and that was Bill was not happy with that, I guarantee you.
617-779-0985. Tim McCone, Ted Johnson in for Zolak and Bertrand. Few minutes left here. All of that being said, still wouldn't be surprised if this team makes a run to the Super Bowl. Isn't that crazy? Yeah. This is a down year for the New England Patriots, and still you look at it and say, in the AFC, at least in my mind, they probably have as good of a chance as anybody as long as they're not going to Kansas City.
Look, this team, you see how they are on the road versus home. I mean, the point differential between home games and road games is like 11 points.
Yeah, it's crazy.
This is a completely different running game team at home versus away. Much different defense at home versus away.
Mm-hmm.
So I think they could put something together if they were to play some playoff games at home and still get to the Super Bowl. And I mentioned this. I liken maybe what's – you got Kansas City. Even though the Patriots beat Kansas City – earlier in the season, do we feel good about that matchup now? Not great. But back in 1996, all right, we got drilled. That team, we got drilled by the Denver Broncos in the regular season, and the Denver Broncos were the number one seed, and we thought, oh, God, we're going to have to go back to Denver to play the Broncos. If we got to go back there, it's going to be hard for us to get to the Super Bowl. Divisional round, the Broncos lose to the Jacksonville Jaguars in Denver.
Right.
Are you kidding me?
It just lines up.
Are you
for
kidding me?
Yeah.
We're the number two seed. All of a sudden, it lined up perfect for us. We hosted the AFC Championship game against the Jacksonville Jaguars. Mm-hmm. beat him and them and Natron Means and went on to the Super Bowl. We lost. But the point is, anything can happen. Kansas City could stub their toe in the first round. And all of a sudden, they're hosting an AFC championship game here against, I don't know, the Texans, Lamar Jackson. I'll take the Patriots every time in that scenario.
Ted Johnson, Tim McCone, in for Zolak and Bertrand. And today's takeaways coming up next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.